Jy is ingeskakel op Understanding Autism op 100.5 FM in samenwerking met die Indigo Smiles Autism Foundation. En by ons in die ateljee vandag is Cindy Kutsie, die stichter van hierdie nie winsgewende organisasie. Baie welkom terug.
Welkom terug.
Baie dankie julle.
Nou Cindy, you are a trained chef.
That is correct, yes.
And you have discovered with your own son, who's now 10 years old, and all your prior knowledge, how important would you say is nutrition when you are dealing with a special needs child?
Okay, so when we basically look at nutrition in general, it is important to every single person on this earth, not just special needs children. I'm a qualified chef, and through my years, I have come to the understanding that the body is built from building blocks, DNA and RNA. And when we are missing valuable components within the body, it's like a car that's missing spark plugs, or missing a wire, or missing an indicator or a light. Somewhere something is going to start falling apart. So by feeding the body proper nutrition and building the DNA and RNA, you are actually feeding the body the right components to be able to make or create the biological processes within the body that's needed.
This is not just for special needs people. This is actually for absolutely
for
everybody.
All of us. Mm. Correct. So as a mom, I had to understand that because nutrition had to start with me. So I had to understand, what does nutrition do to the body? Why should I start cutting out certain sugars? Because it has an effect on the body. So you can't just apply those principles to your child. You have to start within the household, because everybody is part of a household, and that's the building block. So the child learns from the parents, and that is the key to start with nutrition and changing the role. But it leads down to a lifestyle choice.
What is getting to me, and correct me here, but it feels as though people try to make healthier choices, but there's a lot of things out there in the supermarket that a busy mom doesn't really have half an hour to turn over every yogurt offering and checking what is inside there. It's a challenge.
Correct. It's a challenge to actually understand all of those ingredients at the back of the packaging. So normally when I buy something or I read something, if I cannot even pronounce the name of such item or ingredient, my next question is, what is it? Because if I'm not educated, what am I actually giving my child? So,
is it even food?
Correct. What is it? That would be my main question, you know, as a chef. Is it like when you look at your different things, is it a starch? Is it a sauce? Is it a spice? Where does it actually fit into, and what does it actually do to that specific item that gives the body the nutrition?
I have seen that there are some manufacturers that choose to use Latin names or scientific names for a very normal product to try and hide their recipe behind it. Then you also get those very long names that is actually just a chemical.
Correct. So my advice to people having questions about these things is to actually start educating themselves, doing research for themselves as to what are these things, what are the effects on the body, what are the benefits, what are the negative effects, what are the long-term effects, and then actually start paying attention to what you purchase in your house and make sure it's got the nutritional value, because it doesn't help that you spend money on food with no nutritional value.
Because it's not food. It's called food, and it's presented to consumers as food. And it is not.
Correct. It doesn't fill the body where those components are needed within a DNA for the brain and the stomach to be able to create those functions that the body needs to break down food, etc., etc.
And once you start doing it, obviously the entire household, adult included, benefits.
Correct, because you start removing the communication blockers between cells within the body. Once you start feeding the body proper nutrition, And that is because if you don't feed a body proper nutrition, what are you feeding the body to actually be able to thrive? Because you can't use something else than petrol or diesel to currently put into cars to go from point one to point two. And that is where nutrition makes such a big difference in terms of the daily living, your energy levels, and how you can actually function at optimal level and drive what you are supposed to do as a person.
Have there been any studies on heavy metals and autistic or special needs children?
Yes, they have. Currently, the more we start understanding about heavy metals, we understand that it does have an effect on the body. Yes, it is also being used as certain preservatives in certain things, but as that preservative, it can still have a malfunction within the body. And that is sometimes where it does affect children with special needs or on the spectrum, or that their bodies would react to such ingredient. And perhaps that is sometimes where things just go wrong. It's like baking a bread and the oven is too hot. Sorry, it's burnt, but it's not cooked yet. And you actually have to go and figure out what happened. So yes, heavy metals, it's part of our everyday living. We are eating with utensils, and every time you use your stainless steel utensils, there are small, small, tiny particles that would come off. So eventually over X amount of years, you have collected X amount of stainless steel throughout your eating utensils. I'm not even talking about the pesticides that we're spraying. I'm not talking about the fuels that is around us because of our engines, our factories, all of those. So heavy metals comes from so many different sources. There is actually a website that I'm aware of that has got a lot of these things listed, where they come from and what their benefits are and how they are not very healthy for the body.
Aluminium is a very big problem as well.
Correct. So is arsenic, lead, mercury.
We've spoken before about sensory overload. And as many parents know, many individuals on the autism spectrum have food aversions and sensitivities too. So that poses a particular problem with nutrition.
Correct. I think a lot of children are picky eaters because they're going through a learning curve, especially children on the spectrum, because they have an oral sensitivity as well. So some of them like mushy food, some of them like crunchy food, some of them only likes a specific texture. It must be that way. Some children's food can be mixed or touched, others can't. My son is a picky eater, so for me it is very difficult to sometimes get things into him. So I had to change his whole way of, how can I say, feed him. So, for example, we all love pizza. Okay, children love pizza. So instead of using the normal base pizza that we would buy in the shop, I actually make his own pizza. And instead of using, like, for instance, the tomato paste that they put on top of, because of the processes that it goes through and what it contains at the end of the day, I have actually started making my own toppings using like green beans and actually blended down to baby purity food and flavoring it with herbs and spices and applying that to his base. So where my son would never eat green beans and containing those nutritions, I had to find an alternative way of feeding it to him, although visually it's not there. So it's still a pizza. So there are many ways that we can help our child. Another example would be something like oats. It's a big discussion that goes around between what is jungle oats, what is coarse oats, and what is raw oats. So basically it's the processes that the food goes through and how it's being packaged at the end of the day. And when you look at the three different names that I've just mentioned, they are all oats. But the most healthier one is your rolled oats, because it's got more nutritional value. So when making, call it jungle oats in the morning, instead of adding the margarine and the sugar, how can we already just replace those two ingredients to a more nutritional component? We can substitute the margarine with coconut oil. We already get your omega 3 and 6. So before your child even goes to school, you fed them what their brain needs without having to give them a tablet. So already that, over a period of a year, how much difference can that child make or that supplement make because you've just added it into their food? You didn't force them to take a tablet. You didn't held them down and shouted and screamed. You literally just gave it to them with no reason. They see the container, but it's not like you're presenting it straight onto the plate for them. And that is how slowly but surely you can start adding nutrition to a special needs child by finding those ways of alternative, how can I add? Coconut oil within itself have got over 100 benefits within the body. You can actually apply it to your skin. So it can be taken orally. It can be applied to your skin. When you've burnt, you can use it. So yes, when people start actually reading or understanding the benefits of certain natural, healthy products and herbs and spices and what we get from nature, there's so many benefits out there.
Let's talk processed sugar versus honey.
Sugars versus honey. Honey is a natural product. It's made in nature, so therefore it's got natural pollens and stuff that the body do actually need. It's got a lot of nutritional components that we need. Where sugar, let's go to something like artificial sugar, where you get your sugar-free drinks, because that one is still one of my most amazing parts that I don't actually understand. So when you've got a sugary-free drink and you go and read up about aspartame, I would like to know how it's sugar-free, because aspartame is 4 times more stronger than sugar, but it has got a very bad effect within the body. So it's not sugar-free. So we really, really need to go and read about those products that's giving us those hints that it's gluten-free, it's sugar-free, it's high in protein. How did they get it to that point? And yes, that is so. When you look at natural sugars, I would prefer natural sugars. Honey, maple syrup, bee, stevia, all of those, compared to just sticking with normal sugar all the time, do find a replacement. Although normal sugar is being broken down into sucroses also has an effect on the brain when you get too much. That's where hyperactivity and all of that comes from, especially from your corn sugar. So there is a big difference between all the different sugars and how it affects the body.
Do you find a big difference between free-range eggs, chickens, the meat we eat, organic vegetables that you grow yourself? Do you find that that does make a difference?
I want to say yes, because when you look at fruit and vegetables, you're going to plant a seed today and that seed needs X amount of time to grow before it's going to produce food. So when you're going to alter those processes within nature, we are somewhere going to lose out on something because we are forcing. People that do free-range chickens and stuff like that, they allow for their chickens to grow, where sometimes what we do, a lot of us has heard about battery-operated chickens. We literally just growing these things to put them into the supermarket so that we can have food. And yes, I do believe that those animals, they never even see a day of sunlight. They're literally being raised to be killed, to be eaten. And somewhere, how did that process still gain all the systematic processes needed within that specific to get to that point where it has got all the nutrition? So I do feel that if you can grow your own veggies, if you can clean your vegetables, that is actually very important as well, to wash all your veggies when you buy them from the supermarket because of pesticides. It's also got an effect on how long your veggies last in terms of that.
Let's talk about preservatives. With attention deficit children, I know you are told to keep tartrazine away from them and all kinds of preservatives. What is the impact of preservatives in food and snacks on special needs children with autism?
It affects any child's brain and how their coping mechanisms works daily. The more artificial colorants and flavorants you're going to add, the more the brain is not going to know what to do with the substance, and the more they're going to become hyperactive little bunnies jumping around. Because what do? With these things that we don't call food? So our body needs nutrition. Now we've given them colorants. So where do we place them? What do with them? It has a major impact on children.
Before we talk about supplements, I want to ask about family support. I don't think it is uncommon for a mom to buy into this, how important it is, but to be ridiculed, really, for baking their own sourdough bread. It is not always, in all cultures, a supported thing, that nutrition has a really big impact.
Correct.
What do the unsupportive grandmother need to understand?
You know, sometimes it's difficult, especially when you need to look at family and you need to look at grandparents, because they sometimes feel that they can. They want to buy a cookie. They want to buy an ice cream. They want to do those things. It comes from a lot of love, a lot of, I want to spoil my grandchild, whatever it might be. But at the end of the day, when you have an hyperactive child and granny sees the child for an hour, and we want to give all of these things, and the child goes back home to mom, mom is the one that struggles with the child. Mom is the one that's having to go through the behavior moment, the meltdowns, the tantrums, when the sugar starts running out, when these colorants starts drying up, because now we don't know, we're not hyperactive anymore. From a special needs mom myself, having family support, and when you say no for a specific reason, but you can actually give an answer for that reason. So use an example. I do not want my child to drink 7-Up. I have a big thing against it because there are aspartame inside of it. So I want to cringe, but sometimes you don't want to allow, but you also don't want to hurt people, especially because they're not there on your understanding yet. So it is, how do you keep that balance between keeping your family happy, but also making sure that the system that you've created for your own child stays within that system? We need to all remember that you can have no sugar for 2 weeks, and the moment you have sugar for one day, it's taken everything that you've done for 2 weeks, and it's thrown it out by the back door. So a mom can work extremely hard to get her child to that specific point, and a family member can literally turn everything around within half an hour just because of not that understanding or being on the same level as the mom and respecting why she has asked for that specific reason, not for her child to consume that item, because she understands what it would do at the end of the day.
Bread, that's the question.
Yes and no. Because bread does contain, it's actually not the bread, it all boils down back to the flours. And how are they processed? Everything comes back. How is it processed? What are the methods used to produce such an item?
So what I've been hearing is that sourdough bread is good because it is a natural yeast, and the way that the bacteria breaks down the flour, and preferably it's whole wheat flour, has benefits. Or is not harmful?
Correct. It's got more nutritional benefits because the flour still has got the nutritional properties, and natural yeast, yes, it is available. How else do we make moringa juice or kombucha? It is natural yeast that is created because yeast is like a bacteria. Where normal white flour, there is absolutely no nutrition because it's burned through rollers, and that is how we get cake flour. So when you look at those burned minerals and vitamins, it very much comes back down to heavy metals and free radicals because it becomes carcinogenic.
I want to talk about food prep, nutrition and food prep. Obviously, the fresher, the better. But what else do we as normal households do wrong that we can change?
I think the first thing is people don't understand nutrition. A lot of people don't understand nutrition. A lot of people don't understand the differences between blood groups. We all have a blood group, which basically that is like our map. You need to follow that because that is how you're going to fuel your car. it's telling you which diesel or petrol or oil you need to keep going. And I think we've missed the basics in terms of that because, yes, in households, we sometimes eat what dad wants to eat, or we eat what mom wants to eat, or we eat what the kids are eating. One of the bad sometimes we don't consider that we're all individual people and the different blood groups in the house needs to be considered, and that would make already a big impact on just normal conditions, health conditions, chronic conditions, not getting sick every day because you're actually feeding your body what it is requiring and not just a meal, because you considered every single person within the household that if they have got a specific blood group and they need that specific item to keep on feeding, they why not provide that item? But we won't know if we don't go one level deeper into nutrition and actually start understanding those reasons. Why is nutrition there? And as a parent, I do believe that we should understand nutrition, because how else are we going to make these changes?
Even with a healthy diet, people don't always get absolutely everything they need. What is your position on supplements, specifically for special needs children?
Supplements, yes, there are a few on the market that you can find at certain pharmacies that you can look at that are trustworthy, that are natural. Myself, I've looked a lot of into tinctures. Tincture is basically where a fresh herb is being used and broken down into an oil. It's got so many additional health benefits than just a supplement. I also believe your coconut oil is your supplement. So instead of drinking the tablet, you are now supplementing yourself by just adding it to your diet. So yes, taking tablets and giving it to children with special needs, that is a big struggle. So getting supplements into them, I don't even know how to do that one with my own son. So constantly I'm having to try and find alternative ways to bring that in. May it be I make him frozen ice cream at home and I put it inside there. That's how I get it into him, if I have to.
Dit was Cindy Kutseer van die Indigo Smiles Autism Foundation en jy het geluister na Understanding Autism op 100.5 FM.